and a teacher of what? Lies. So something that doesn't speak, something that doesn't talk, is a teacher of lies. That the maker of his work trusteth therein to make dumb idols. Dumb not meaning stupid or ignorant. Dumb meaning silent. They don't talk. They just sit there. They do nothing. Woe unto him that saith to the wood, awake! Stop. Pause. Have you ever seen that happen in a Walt Disney movie? Is that a yes or a no? Okay, so years and years and years ago, when people were really prudish and parents were really upset about Walt Disney, you want to know why? Because they had taken the things that were strictly forbidden in the Bible and animated them to lure all of us into a new Disney kingdom. This is not a message on Disney. But until and unless you have children looking and being mesmerized by a TV, and you're realizing in your spirit that this is something they probably shouldn't be looking at, and say, well, what do I do now as a parent? That's a great question. And we all face it. Because we're all part of the Disney generation. Woe unto him that saith to the wood, awake, to the dumb stone, arise. It shall teach. Behold, it is laid over with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all in the midst of it. I'm not going to turn to Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32 is like one of the famous idol chapters of the Bible, where the nation of Israel is waiting for Moses to come down from the Mount Sinai. So turn with me. We'll have a few other passages of Scripture. How about Deuteronomy chapter 9? Deuteronomy chapter 9, we have a couple of other verses that will look at this incident of one of the greatest examples of idol worship that God's people have ever been accused of. Deuteronomy chapter number 9, Moses is retelling the story. Deuteronomy 9:15. So I turned, did I say verse 15? And I came down from the mount, and the mount burned with fire. And the two tables of the covenant were in my two hands. And I looked, and behold, ye had sinned against the Lord your God, and had made you a molten calf. Ye had turned aside quickly out of the way which the Lord had commanded you. And I took the two tables and cast them out of my hands and break them before your eyes. Psalm 106, if you turn there. Psalm 106. What's really cool about the Bible is you can get historical information by looking at other passages of Scripture. So you have to sometimes know, where are those historical passages? Psalm 106, Psalm 105, Nehemiah chapter 9. So you can go to various parts of the Old Testament, Acts chapter 7, and you can find out some history, Hebrews chapter 11, of what took place back in the Old Testament. Psalm 106, verse 19. They made a calf in Horeb and worshipped the molten image. Thus they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that eateth grass. We are made in the image and the glory of God, and we decided to make a dumb idol like an ox, like a bull. Verse 21. They forget God their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, and terrible things by the Red Sea. Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. Stephen's famous message before the Sanhedrin, before the religious leaders of Israel, may be one of the most profound messages that the Apostle Paul ever heard, because he was right there watching Stephen preach his final message before they stoned him to death. Acts 7, verse 40. Saying unto Aaron, make us gods to go before us. For as for this Moses, which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And they made a calf in those days and offered sacrifice unto the idol and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. Now, we could, I'm going to ask you maybe go to one more passage of Scripture, 1 Kings chapter 12. So as we look at false worship, I just want to take a moment to focus on what we would call idolatry. And when I think about idolatry, I want to put idolatry into two words. I want to think about idolatry as wrong objects. Wrong objects. I know the word wrong is not appropriate in our culture anymore because there's nothing wrong. Because wrong is a moral word. So in order for something to be wrong, something has to be right. And you can't claim anything to be right anymore. So these are wrong objects. Idolatry is wrong objects. In Daniel 3, don't go there. Nebuchadnezzar sets up this huge image of himself, remember? So this is an idol of the king. And the decree was, at the sound of the music, the sackbut, the harp, everybody's to bow down in front of this image. And we have three Hebrew children who decide not to. We're not going to bow down. Again, this is one of those rare but specific, critical instances of civil disobedience in the Bible. This violates Romans chapter 14 in a way. We are to be submissive to those in authority above us until or unless they put us in direct conflict with the word of God, the commandment of God, the will of God. So these three Hebrew children said, "No way, Jose." Sorry, I didn't mean that. I don't know how to say Nebuchadnezzar in Babylonian, but they said, no, it's not going to happen. Well, do you know if you don't do this, you're going to be crispy critter? That's all right. The God that we serve will take care of us inside. It's all good, and you know the rest of the story. 1 Kings chapter 12 is when the nation of Israel, underneath David's son Solomon, instead of a generation that was going to follow in David's footsteps and follow the God of Israel, the nation of Israel decides to have an American revolution. The North and the South, we're going to split it right up. The North is going to go this way. The South is going to go this way. Solomon's son, Rehoboam, goes one way. And we have here in 1 Kings chapter 12, Jeroboam, verse 25, built Shechem in Mount Ephraim, which is northern Israel, and dwelt therein, and went out from thence and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, "Now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah. And they shall," what? "Kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah." So we have envy, we have strife, we have two men that are splitting the nation, Rehoboam and Jeroboam. I wish their names weren't so close. It's very confusing. But the one says, if I do nothing, they're going to return back to the Lord. And they're going to kill me, verse 28. "Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, 'It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold, thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt.'" Doesn't that sound familiar? I wonder where he got that script from. "And he set the one in Bethel, and the other put he in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. And he made an house of high places, and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi," which of course was the family that was supposed to be the priestly family. "And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the eighth month, on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah. And he offered upon the altar. So did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made. And he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places, which he had made. So he offered upon the altar, which he had made in Bethel, the 15th day of the eighth month, even in the month which he had devised of his own heart. and ordained a feast unto the children of Israel, and he offered upon the altar and burnt incense. John Thomas, a missionary in India, exposed this. It is said that Reverend John Thomas, a missionary in India, was one day traveling through the country when he saw a group of people waiting to enter an idol temple. As soon as the doors were open and they started inside, he walked to the front and stood in front of the idol. He held up his hand and asked for their attention. He then put his fingers to his eyes and said, "It has eyes, but it cannot see. Ears, but it cannot hear. A nose, but it cannot smell. Hands, but it cannot handle. And mouth, but it cannot speak." The people at first were stunned, but soon gave him an applaud, and being ashamed of their stupidity, left the temple and went to their own houses. Idolatry, wrong objects. Let's look at the wrong places. False worship is not only the wrong objects, but it could be a wrong place. We're going to look at high places. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 28. 2 Chronicles, well, where's that? That's before Psalms, after Kings. It's the history books of the nation of Israel. 2 Chronicles chapter 28. High places were places of religious worship. Five religious activities occurred there: animal sacrifices, prostitution, the burning of incense, daughters walking through fire, and human sacrifices. High places were had sacred pillars, often designated or made there. These carved pillars often depicted female goddesses of fertility and male deities. It also appears that these high places had priests. Baal, Ashtaroth, Topheth, the gods of the sun, the moon, the constellations, and all the host of heaven. The gods of the high places were depicted as carved and molten images. 2 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 1. Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, but he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord, like David his father. Not David his father, in the line of David. He was generations away from David. For he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel. Israel, in this context, means the 10 northern tribes that are worshiping the golden things in the north. He walked in the ways of the king of Israel and made also molten images for Balaam. Moreover, he burnt incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom, burnt his children in the fire after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. He sacrificed also and burnt incense in the high places and on the hills and under every green tree. So what's a high place? It's not a low place. I'm not trying to be funny. If you remember the tabernacle in the wilderness was a tent set up, take down, like we're camping. And we're going to camp. And they could not place this tabernacle on a hillside or on a mountaintop. It was always in the plain. And the nations that surrounded them looked at this strange group of people, over 2 million of them. And you think tailgate parties are big. 2 million people camping out. No water, no food. 2 million people being led by fire and a cloud. That's pretty cool. Word spread. But also remember that God said to Abraham, "Hey, Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son. And there's a hill I want you to go to." That hill has become famous, infamous, actually. It's called Mount Moriah. It's called Zion. It's in Jerusalem where Abraham offered his son Isaac. Okay, so we have in the plain, the tabernacle, but yet God said to Abraham, I want you to offer your son Isaac on a high place. So we have to be careful when we look at not every high place in the Old Testament is a place of pagan worship. Most of them are. A high place gives you an advantage so you can look down. The only exalted person should be God. God should be exalted. We need to look up to God unless we're instructed otherwise. Okay? So we have a problem. There are high places in the Old Testament. I'm not exactly sure, and I don't want to get this too contemporary too quickly, but let's pause for a moment and say, okay, if false worship could be the wrong, what did I say? Idol is a wrong what? A wrong object. So false worship could be a wrong object. False worship could be a wrong place. Where is the wrong place of worship for you? I don't know. Could be Duff's. Could be Flanagan's. Whatever place is the wrong place for you is false worship. A friend of mine, it was the baseball field because that was his life. So when he got saved, he put down his baseball bat for a long, 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 long time. God gave him the baseball bat back, but he said, Lord, unless and until you say, I will not touch this again. So place is important. And we could look at other examples for sure of high places. Third, turn with me to Leviticus chapter 18. Leviticus chapter 18, if you would. So we've looked at idolatry, high places, wrong objects, wrong places. Leviticus chapter 18. Now let's look at wrong people. Wrong places, wrong objects, wrong people. We might be worshiping using the wrong people, putting the wrong people in places where they shouldn't be, and thinking this pleases God. We know people, you know people, that might worship their spouse. They might worship their children. They might worship their ancestors. Wrong people. Leviticus chapter 18, if you know anything about the Old Testament, you want to stay away from Leviticus. Because it's always thou shalt not. There we are, verse 21. And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire of Molech. Neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God, I am the Lord. Now, if you're unfamiliar with what that means, that implies your children. Your seed is your heritage. It's your children. It's your family. It's your legacy. It's the generations that will come after you. So, it is absolutely forbidden to allow your children to be sacrificed. Leviticus chapter 20. Only a page over. Leviticus chapter 20. We'll start in verse 2. Again, thou shalt say to the children of Israel, whosoever he be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any of his seed unto Molech, god of the pagans, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. And I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people, because he hath given of his seed unto Molech to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name. And if the people of the land do anywise hide their eyes from the man, when he giveth of his seed unto Molech and kill him not, then I will set my face against that man and against his family and will cut him off. And all that go a-whoring after him to commit whoredom with Molech from among their people. Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18. False worship in the Old Testament included child sacrifices. We don't have to wait till the summary. Let's talk about it right now. If the nation of Israel was commanded when they go into the land of Canaan, I want you to not only replace the people that are there, but I want you to be instruments of my discipline to those that inhabit the land of Canaan now. One of the major reasons why God cleansed that land was because of this issue, child sacrifice. It doesn't take a brain scientist to realize that if you sacrifice your children, your nation and country won't be around long because there's nobody to replace you. People are doing studies now and realizing that the Western countries, our population rate is less than 2 children per family, whereas other cultures, other nations, 6, 7, 8 children per family. If America does nothing, if Western Europe does nothing to change the population ratio, I think by the year 2020, it'll be 50, 70, 80% Muslim. Not by conversion, but by children. By children. So what we've done in the last 50, 60, 70 years is we've numbed ourselves thinking that abortions are right, that this is something that is a right for us. And in America, Western civilization, Russia, China, who knows what the numbers are? But I have to believe that the numbers that we're sacrificing are far in excess of what the pagan cultures did back then. Jeremiah 19, verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, go and get a potter's earthen bottle, and take of the ancients of the people, and of the ancients of the priests, and go forth unto the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is by the entry of the east gate, and proclaim there the words that I shall tell thee. And say, hear ye the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah, and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Behold, this is Jeremiah, which is what we're studying now in our life groups every Sunday morning. Behold, I will bring evil upon this place, the which whosoever heareth, his ears shall tingle, because they have forsaken me, and have estranged this place, and have burned incense in it unto other gods, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, nor the kings of Judah, and have filled this place with the blood of who? Innocents. The blood of completely helpless. Now, these aren't preborn. These are postborn children. They have built also the high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings unto Baal, which I commanded not, nor spake it, neither came it into my mind. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that this place shall no more be called Tophet, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. So false worship for us might not be killing our children after they're born, it might not be golden calves in our home, it might not be a high place, but it might be wrong people. Who are the people that we're worshiping? Not only did they anger the Lord in completely disobeying what God said about our heritage, about our families, about our children, but let's extend that a little bit. False worship could be worship toward anybody else other than God. Fourth, Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18. Idolatry, high places, child sacrifices. Let's look at sorcery, witchcraft, prognosticators. astronomy, astrology, cosmology. Deuteronomy 18:10. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. You might say, I don't understand what any of those words mean. You might not get all of them, but you understand a few of them. Again, welcome to the land of Disney. Tinkerbell, remember her? Maybe in your mind already. What was that thing called? Fairy dust. Fairy dust. Oh, how innocent. Sure, yeah, how innocent. Yet condemned in the Old Testament. Oh, Pastor, you're so out of touch. Mm-hmm. You see, sanctification is progressive. When you were a child and you knew nothing, you weren't going to be held accountable for that because you knew nothing. But as you grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, you ought to know something. The Bible clearly says there comes a time when we need to be grown-up Christians. And yet, frozen. And she turns into an ice cube. And it's all good. We're okay with that. Because it's $1 million production. You know where I'm going. Everybody get this? We don't have to use any more illustrations. We can make an entire Disney service if we wanted to. And we could show you clip after clip after clip after clip. Just Disney. And we'll spend however much money to go there. Because our kids want to go there. It's like the greatest show on earth. Now, we don't have to go to the circus because there is no more circus. So we're going to give our kids' minds to wizards. Sorcery. Witchcraft. Leviticus 19:26, don't turn there. It says, observer of times. An observer of times is somebody who does a horoscope. The church I went to used to call it a horror scope. How many of you know what your sign is? Don't raise your hand. You just indicted yourself. I'm a Libra. October. I learned that before I got saved. I don't follow that now. How many of you have ever been to a Chinese restaurant? How many of you have ever gotten or received a fortune cookie? How many of you have ever opened one? You know what you've just done? Do you know what you've just done? You just sinned. Because those people are watching you. To them, that is what we're talking about. That's fortune telling. To them, that's what it is. Now, again, we could look at all these other passages of Scripture. Daniel chapter 1, Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 5. Daniel was in the midst of Babylon, the Chaldeans, who studied the stars for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. Therefore, when the Messiah was born, they knew exactly where to go when they were asked, where would the Messiah be born? They were studiers of astronomy. So when we look at sorcery, witchcraft, and all the rest, can I put this under the banner of wrong methods? I've been around Christianity long enough to know that the mantra over the years has been, as long as the message is okay, the method isn't that important. And churches would fill up their sanctuaries with kids. They'd fill up their sanctuaries with buses. They'd fill up this and that and the other thing. And they would do the craziest things in the church in order to bring the people in. And of course, their excuse was, the message is right. But the methods were questionable at best. So sorcery, witchcraft. How about King Saul trying to get information from Samuel, who died? And he says, hey, find me a witch. Oh, we heard there's a witch at Endor. Even though he outlawed that. I mean, he wrote an executive order that said, no more witches in my land. But they knew where one was. King Samuel went to the witch at Endor. Have you ever gone through Erie County to see some of the posters and the banners and the advertising for this New Age thing or hypnosis here or witchcraft there? Psychic fairs. It's all good, right? We're so tolerant. It's all right. Deuteronomy 18. We've already read that. Isaiah 47. So what I'm going to look at lastly is astrology. Astrology. So we've looked at the wrong objects, the wrong places, the wrong people, the wrong methods. Now let's look at the wrong focus as we look at false worship. The wrong focus, Isaiah 47:13. Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee. Isaiah is saying to the nation of Israel, oh, you want to trust in these false prophets that tell you your fortune by the stars? Call on them when you need help. Again, Daniel chapter 1, Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 5. How about Acts chapter 7? Two verses in Acts chapter 7, and I'll wrap this up with our last segment called Contemporary Idolatry. Acts chapter 7, verse 42. Acts 7:42. Then God turned and gave them up. That sounds like Romans chapter 1. God gave them up, God gave them over, God gave them over. God will allow us to go down the path we choose. God gave them up to worship the host of heaven. As it is written in the book of the prophets, O ye house of Israel, have ye offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Yea, ye took up the tabernacle of Molech and the star of your God, Rephaim, figures which ye made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. All right, lastly, let's look at contemporary idolatry. Idolatry extends beyond the worship of idols and images and false gods. Our modern idols are many and varied. Even for those who do not bow down before a statue, idolatry is a matter of the... Very good. It's a matter of the heart. Pride, idolatry. Self-centeredness, idolatry. Greed, idolatry. Gluttony, idolatry. A love for possessions, idolatry. Ultimately, rebellion against God. It is the sinful nature of man that causes us to worship modern idols, all of which, in reality, are forms of self-worship. I'm not even going to touch the foe. The idols of the 21st century often bear no resemblance to the artifacts used thousands of years ago. Today, however, many have replaced the golden calf with an insatiable desire for money, prestige, or success. Some pursue the high regard of others as their ultimate goal. Some seek after comfort or a myriad of other passionate yet empty pursuits. Sadly, our society often admires those that serve such idols. An idol can be anything we place ahead of God in our lives, anything that takes God's place in our hearts, possessions, careers, relationships, hobbies, sports, entertainment, goals, greed, addictions to drug, alcohol, gambling, pornography. Some of the things we idolize are clearly sinful. But many of the things we idolize can be very good, such as relationships or careers. Unfortunately, God is often shoved out of the way as we pursue our self-designed goals. How many of you have ever heard of a bucket list? You know what that is? Now do you know what that is? Right. That's our goal. That's our bucket list. Before I die, I want to jump out of a really good plane. With a parachute, of course. A perfectly good airplane. So what's wrong with that? That's always the question I hear. As long as I've been involved with Christianity, looking at these Christian school kids in Christian school, what's wrong with that? What's right with it? Does God approve of this? Is God pleased? We've said it 100 times if we've said it once. Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but thy will be done. Was that just for that moment? We have far too much evidence that every single word, every single step that Jesus took was in direct obedience to his Father. That means Jesus was mindless. That's completely wrong. What that means is that Jesus emptied himself completely of himself. And again, I don't even know what I'm talking about. How can God empty himself of himself? But what he decided to do, the goal was that he would do and say every single thing his Father suggested and told him to do. That's the example of Christ-likeness. To do every single thing in the perfect will of God. I don't feel like going through Samaria. I'm going to check out Galilee instead. You got that? He didn't do that. He went right through Samaria like God said he should. Who did he meet there? The woman at the well. I don't feel like going to Gadara. I'm not going over that lake one more time. We wouldn't have the maniac of Gadara story. Oh, Jesus said, I'm not doing that. That's not on my itinerary. It's not on my bucket list. So here we are. Wrong objects. Wrong focus, wrong people, wrong methods. What was the last one? Wrong places. So contemporary idol worship, false worship for us, might not be going to the Empire State Building, high place. It might be something else. It might be a low place. A man cave. Really? How's your prayer closet? What does that look like? War Room was a great movie. But again, unfortunately, Christian movies are scripted. They were supposed to act that way because the script said so. Show me a real live person that does that. That's what we should be modeling after. Right? Fireproof. Great movie. Scripted, though. We talked about it Friday night. The greatest scene in the movie was when the guy took out his computer and beat it with a baseball bat because he was addicted to pornography. So he beat that computer to death. And the old man neighbor was watching him. He looked at him and said, what man takes a perfectly good computer and beats it to death with a baseball bat? Guy who's convicted of his sin, that's who. But you don't see that in real life, do you? You do in Colorado. A baker said, I'm not going to bake that cake. You do in Kentucky. A county clerk said, I'm not going to sign that document. A florist in Oregon says, I can't do that. A grandmother might lose everything because of one choice, one decision. She's not going to bow her knee to Baal. She's not going to do it. And Daniel prayed, as he always had. The law was signed. The executive order was written. Daniel said, fooey on that law. I'm going to pray to the God of Israel, just like I always did. And those that set him up with that law knew that would happen. And they went to the king. King, O king, that Jew that you set up, Daniel, he's violating the law of the land. He must go to the lion's den. And the king was sorrowful because he realized he'd been had. He'd been set up. He signed the executive order. The king prayed, "Oh, Daniel, I pray that your God will save you." He was the first one at the tomb, the lion pit. "Oh, Daniel, Daniel, are you okay?" "I'm good, king. I'm all good." God shuts the lion's mouths, but they're waiting for dessert. They didn't see me as being very tasteful. But if you got something to satisfy these guys when I get out of here, I think they're going to be very happy. If you remember the rest of the story, those guys that designed that law, the king threw them in there for dessert for the lions. What am I trying to say? There's always a price. There's always a price to pay for worship. Godly worship that God approves of. There's always a price to pay. Let's pray. Lord, there are many voices outside of us. There are voices inside of us. Our natural tendency is to ignore the voices outside of us, especially those voices that are encouraging us to follow in the way of peace and joy and hope. There are those that we know that encourage self-indulgence, that encourage adultery, that encourage a list of other things that we should avoid at all cost. And inside of us, the voice of self continues to speak. The voice of comfort, the voice of ease, the voice of self-indulgence, the voice of Frank Sinatra that says, "I'll do it my way." Lord, how I pray that we would recognize these influences as detrimental, Lord, to our spiritual walk, our soulish walk, our physical walk with you. They're destructive. They're devilish. They're demonic. They're devastating. Maybe you're here this morning and one of these forms of false worship has been identified by either the Word of God or the Spirit of God, or by one of our illustrations today. The privacy of your heart. Would you pray and say, "Lord, would you help me in this area?" Maybe it's a wrong object, a wrong place, a wrong focus, a wrong method, or wrong people. Lord, worship's an issue of the heart. How I pray that you would cleanse our hearts. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Brother John, would you lead us in our worship song?